We all know that the word love is fraught with misunderstandings. But it has a richness in quality which is able to convey to us the total goodness of God in a way that no other word can. We must be careful, though, to distinguish between human love and the love of the divine I Am. All human love is tinged with desire. There must be an object for our love. There must be a beloved. By contrast, the love of the divine I Am, in its primal, fontal aspect, is without object or desire. God loves not because he is attracted by an object which calls forth his love. God loves because it is his very nature to do so. And because of his love, he gives himself away in the creation of all that is or could be. For Christians, the supreme symbol of that self-giving in love is the cross of Christ. The Christian is called to imitate this kind of loving. This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Colson comments, whoever aspires to follow Jesus Christ into God must learn to love as he loves. He may no longer be content to love his neighbor as himself. He must learn to love as I Am loves. The Bible is obviously full of sayings about the love of God. One which expresses it most clearly is to be found in the prophecy of Jeremiah. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This sentence is expressive of what one spiritual teacher called the flow and reflow of God's love. For Colson, the words enshrine nothing less than the eternal procession and return, the outpouring and indrawing, the descending and ascending, which constitutes the very heartbeat of the Holy One, in which I Am expresses himself as the living all. As we mentally repeat this saying from Jeremiah, we shall begin to experience that loving flow and reflow, both the outpouring aspect and the mysterious magnetic pull which draws us back to the supreme source of all. Before doing so, we prepare as usual by spending our 2 minutes listening to the divine invitation to come into the divine presence. If we are conscious of a burden of lovelessness, we bring that and lay it at the foot of the cross, where all burdens ultimately may be offloaded and, as it were, absorbed by the love of God in Jesus. Come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me and rest. And now we enter our first 10-minute period of silence, stilling our own thoughts, opening ourselves simply to the word spoken. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved thee. I have drawn thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. To begin to experience in contemplation the love of the divine I am is like paddling on the shore of some vast sea. We become aware, even at the beginning of this experience, of limitless horizons, a veritable ocean of love reaching away into eternity. In our second silence, when we seek to carry this love-filled saying deep into our heart, we become increasingly aware that by some extraordinary paradox, this great ocean lies within us as well as beyond. Using the analogy of water in a different way, Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, "The water that I shall give will be a spring of water within, welling up into eternal life." There is therefore an aspect of giving as well as of receiving in the contemplation of divine love. Colson suggests that this is the time to review our renunciation of human loves. For only by so doing shall we become sufficiently uncluttered to experience the love of the divine I am. The gain is more than the loss, however, for when this divine love springs up within us, then we shall be able to extend that love outwards to others and truly love them as he loves them. Only so can we fulfill the new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. Let us then experience this love as deeply as we can in our second period of silence. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved thee. I have drawn thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. There is hardly any divine word more necessary to keep as a watchword at the edge of the mind than this word of love. There is so much lovelessness in the world of every day that it really is very important that we should allow our will to be directed by this saying. So let us keep it near the surface for instant recall during the next month, possibly in a shorter form. I have loved thee, or my divine love. for the moment in our final silence, picture those people you love best of all. Having recalled what they look like, remember that however much you love them, God's love is their best and most wonderful possession, whether they know it or not. As soon as you have a mental picture of the loved one, focus your attention onto the saying, as if it were being spoken to them, as indeed it is. You, John, you, Mary, I have loved you with an everlasting love. After a moment, say 15 to 20 seconds, move on to the next group of people. Four or five people at a time is enough to begin with, for each group. You, James. You, Pauline. I have loved you with an everlasting love. We thank you, Lord, for all your unsearchable riches which pour out from you as light from the sun, whether received, ignored, or rejected, and now especially for your gift of divine love. And we offer to you, insofar as we are able, an emptiness to be filled with your divine fullness, all that we are, all that we have, and all that we do. Amen.